So a couple more reflections on what I offered this morning in the guided meditation. As I said, so many times when I was practicing with Sayadaw Utejaniya, I heard him talk to somebody about their experience, and he would say, it was translated, so I don't know exactly what he said, but he would say something that sounded like, you should notice this, or you should notice that. And then they'd go off, and they'd come back, and they'd start to say, well, I tried to do this. And he said, were you doing that? Were you looking for that? And they said, yeah. And he said, don't try to do that. And they said, but Sayadaw, you said I should. And he would say, what I say is not something to do. It's more of a description of something that you might notice. And so this is something I'm trying to be very careful with the language around. So I believe I use the words things like you might recognize, you might see, you might notice, as opposed to try to notice, do this. So I've been trying to language it in that way, and yet it's very difficult to language things completely in that receptive form. And so I explicitly stated that. So when offering a lot of these instructions, there's different ways we can take the instructions, or different ways that they might land. Sometimes the instructions might be something to do, such as explore relaxing, recognizing awareness, receiving experience. There's a doing there. And then there's a whole host of things that might sound like instructions that are more descriptions of what might be seen than they are really an encouragement to try to do something. And so that was in the vein of what I was offering this morning, was more descriptions that you might be able to recognize this difference between body experience and mental experience, and begin to see the impact that they have on each other, that they condition each other, that they affect each other. It's very helpful to see this because, well, I said in the guided meditation that there's so many ways in which, what comes in through our sense experiences, our sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, etc., can be confused with something that's happening in our mind. And it might be as simple as the feeling and the subsequent liking and not liking of something that's happening. We may impute something of that feeling to the experience or to something external. The feeling that we have of something being pleasant or unpleasant, we might think of that as being something inherent in that experience. And sometimes there's definitely times where that's the case, or not so much completely, but if we cut ourselves with a knife, there's an unpleasantness to the feeling. And it's pretty universal that when human beings are cut with a knife, they experience unpleasant feeling. And so we might think of that as a physical experience. And yet, my understanding through reading in neurobiology is that feeling is actually constructed by the brain. It's not actually a physical thing. It's constructed in the brainstem, in fact. And if there's damage in that area of the brain, that feeling will not happen. The feel will not be felt as unpleasant. Leprosy apparently is part of is something. There's something going on in Hansen's disease that the body can no longer experience pleasant, unpleasant, that feeling is no longer experienced. And so, we can confuse the experience of pleasant, unpleasant, and the subsequent liking, not liking, is somehow being inherent in some experience. We also can confuse our ideas about experience, our concepts about experience, with it being something that's actually out there. This is another huge area of conflation between body and mind. And so it's really, it's helpful as we start to recognize that we're noticing body processes, that we begin to see that there are distinctions between distinctions between aspects and areas of our experience. There's experience in body. There's ideas about that. This is good. This is bad. This is even just simply something along the lines of, this is a chair. Is an idea in our mind. We had to learn that. We had to learn that that was a chair. So there's these processes that go on of recognition. And these are very useful processes. We're not trying to stop these processes. But it is also useful to begin to recognize that what we are experiencing in the world is mediated through concept, because we often don't consciously recognize that. We don't recognize that we're taking experience in, mediated by ideas and concepts. And in that mediation, there's so often views and opinions that are attached to those concepts that influence and inform how we receive experience. So it's like our concepts, our views, ideas are like a filter on what we take in, impacting. It actually impacts. Our ideas actually impact what we physically receive. So this is, again, this is information, partly as support for perhaps generating some interest in exploring this. So when interest is generated, again, it's not that I'm asking you to do this, to try to see these distinctions. But this is a condition. My offering this teaching is a condition. I'm pointing out things I've seen, I've recognized in my own experience. I'm pointing out things that teachers have told me, this is a useful thing to recognize. I've seen in my own experience the value of recognizing these distinctions. And so sharing that with you, we can kind of think of it just like, it's kind of like rain. You know, rain falls down on the land and it gets absorbed into the landscape, and it kind of filters down through the earth and ends up in a pool underneath. And so it's just infiltrating the system. Information here is infiltrating your system. It's kind of landing. So just take this in as information. And this information will have an impact. So you don't particularly need to pick it up as a doing. So back to this sense of the recognition of concepts influencing how we take in experience. Concepts, ideas, views, even agendas, even something as simple as an agenda. You know, agendas actually may be one of the easier ways to really recognize how powerful the mind is to both screen in and screen out experience. We think of our experience, our sense experience, as being kind of like an accurate recording of what's going on out there. Like we're cameras and microphones, and we can go back and review, and we've picked up all the information, and we can go back and look at things. That's not really the way our system works. If we have something simple like an agenda, you know, like you can be told. There's kind of a famous study. Many of you may have heard of this. Well, I'll tell it more from a different perspective. It's a similar kind of exploration, but it was one I actually experienced. I was watching a program on perception, and at one point in the show, they said, you know, they were using a lot of magic tricks in this to kind of demonstrate the power of having attention drawn elsewhere, and you know that you won't see what's happening in another place or something. And so at one point they said, okay, here's a magic trick. See if you can figure out how it's working. And so I was looking at it to see if I could see, just, you know, trying to look away from where they were directing my attention in the magic trick to see if I could figure out how the magic trick was working. And maybe I figured out how it worked. But then what they dropped in at the end was, And did you see the guy in the giant bunny suit walk by? No, I had not seen the guy in the giant bunny suit walk by. And when I looked back at the video, you know, when they replayed the video, it's like you could not miss the guy in the giant bunny suit. The attention had been narrowed because I had an agenda. I'm going to see if I can figure this out. And so I did not take in that other part of the experience. So that's a simple thing, a simple kind of agenda that will influence what we receive. So that kind of thing happens all the time. And it also happens through our emotions. Our emotions create an agenda, a filter. And in fact, the connection between our emotional life and what we experience as pleasant and unpleasant is pretty pretty profound. So, you know, you might be in a state of happiness, for instance, if you're happy. And knowing that you're happy, you know, you might walk into a room and be delighted by the way the light is in the room. And, you know, just find the simplicity of the room to be just, you know, easeful and happiness producing. Or you might be kind of grumpy when you walk in the room, and you might be annoyed at, you know, seeing the different colored windows and thinking, you know, that's too busy, and look at that tape on the window, and why is that there anyway? And so when we have an emotion or a mood, we tend to be drawn to things, well, not only, we tend to be drawn to things that kind of will reinforce that mood, but also we tend to interpret things in line with that mood. And so somebody could see that window in a mood of happiness and think it's beautiful, and somebody in a mood of grumpiness could come in and think it's just awful. So the mood impacting how we experience, whether it's even pleasant or unpleasant, and our relationship to that. So again, it's that part of the reason why this is interesting is because so much of what we experience is constructed by what's going on in our minds. And beginning to recognize the difference between body and mind is one of the easy places to notice that difference. The difference between what's going on and, you know, in what we're taking to be what's just happening in the world and what's happening in our minds. What's happening in our minds also conditions other things going on in our minds. That gets a little more. I mean, so like for instance, an emotion or a mood in our minds will tend to create certain thoughts. Will tend to we may have a reaction or a response to a mood or a feeling. So you know, we see something happening or hear about something happening in the world, so an idea gets formed in the mind about that thing, and then we react to the idea. You know, example of that, I've told this one before, so I'll just do the very briefest thing on this. You know, I was in a situation where I was meditating, and it was in Burma, and I was hearing regularly every day a squealing sound, and I took it that squealing sound was the sound of a pig in the nearby village. The village was right next door. And then there was the idea, the concept, because it sounded to me like that squealing sound, which I took to be pig, was a distressed pig. And so I created the idea that this was the local butcher shop and that the pigs were being slaughtered in the afternoon each day. And then one day I discovered that squealing sound, because one day I was outside instead of in my room meditating, and the squealing sound was not pigs, it was bats. And so it had been a misperception. And the reaction of hearing that sound, interpreting it as pigs in distress, had created a whole host of emotions that were based on concept. And so when we begin to recognize that perception can make a mistake, we can begin to see just how much we are responding not to what's happening out there, but to our ideas of what's happening. And this is a huge place in the world where suffering happens, through this kind of reacting to what's happening based on our ideas about it. So those are a few thoughts about body and mind, and not trying to do this. Just take that in. Just take that in.